under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk. This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have each and every day as we face the issues. I am prayerful that as you join the dialogue and discussion, as you join the by tuning in and listening, that it's edifying, encouraging, educational, and provides you with, if you please, a strength to stand for truth. And that is the whole focus of the broadcast, Let's Face the Issues. We might understand what's happening on a global, national, local level, and we might stand for truth. We're talking about an issue today that some might get a little uptight about. I encourage you to stay tuned for the entire broadcast. Don't turn your dials, hang up, or in some way think that you don't need to hear it. I'm asking the question, and this issue today, was Peter the first pope? Peter, the Apostle Peter, Simon Peter, one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, was he the first pope? When I ask some questions, what did the first century Christians think about that? Did the first century church believe that Peter was the first pope? When was the first pope? When did Peter die? Did Peter die before the popery system became formed and became known as Roman Catholicism? Is there an era in what have about a billion and a quarter people, a billion and a half people, is an error in what they have believed? Is it possible, ladies and gentlemen, is it possible that a billion and four, 1.5 billion people have believed a false gospel, another gospel, as the Apostle Paul dealt with in Galatians 1, 6, 7, 8, and 9, dealing with that with the churches at Galatia? He said, I'm paraphrasing, I'm surprised that you have, so soon after you were saved, you believed a false gospel. And further in the Galatians text, about the third chapter, the Apostle Paul says, who hath bewitched you? Who has caused you to believe a demonic lie? Ladies and gentlemen, recently, in the lead up to the Pope's funeral, Cardinal Dolan, the Cardinal of New York, while being interviewed on Fox News, showed a scene of the Pope's seat, his chair, his throne, in the Holy See. And he said, that is the same chair, the same place where Peter sat as the first Pope. That's been taught down through the centuries in Roman Catholicism. Is it true or is it false? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about that today. And we, as we do a quick study, a thumbnail sketch of several of the world religions very briefly to get into that, the heart of the subject today. As we do, it is quickly revealed, ladies and gentlemen, that all, A-L-L, of the world's religions were founded on an individual. Just consider Islam. Originated with Muhammad. Think about Jehovah's Witnesses with Joseph Smith as the founder. And then consider Seventh-day Adventist, Ellen White. And then there's the Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk about that in just a moment. As setting the stage for asking the question, was Peter the first pope? love to hear from you. If you've got opinions, you've got evidence, if you've got documented evidence, some historical evidence that Simon Peter was the first pope, love to hear from you today. And right after the monologue, I'm going to open the telephone lines and ask you to call in. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. Now, I'm not talking about what you've been taught or what you believe or what some person or hierarchy has said in the church of your choice. I'm talking about, do you have any evidence, proof? You know, we talk about the proofs of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. There was many eyewitnesses, multitudes that saw him, talked with him, ate with him to validate that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I'm talking about that kind of proof. Do we have any biblical proof, biblical evidence? Is there a verse in the scripture, a verse, or more than one verse, that validates that Peter was the first pope of Roman Catholicism? Now, I'm hammering on that today, if you want to call it that, because if you build an entire religious denominational faith on a falsehood, a lie, how can you believe anything else that's said or done in that religious organization? That's where we're going. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said to them in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you today, that's the source book of truth. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. Jesus didn't say a religious denomination is the truth, or that what the first bishop may have said is the truth, or who was the first pope and what that pope said. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going back to the truth of the Word of God. That ought to be the fabric, the foundation of all that we say and do in Christendom today. Not what somebody said, what somebody has said for centuries, but what does the Word of God preach, teach, and say? John 17:17, the scripture says, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. And according to Psalms 117:2, the truth of the Lord endures forever. I go back to the statement by George Orwell. Now listen, I'm not building him up. I'm not trying to prove what he said in the sense of being authentic. But in the dystopian novel entitled 1984, Orwell did make a powerful statement that has come to fruition today. He said, the further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we find that to be factually true today. It is truth that we need to look at and count on. And we find more and more today those that deny the truth, reject the truth, and say there's no absolute truth. In fact, one of the latest surveys points out, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. This is the crux of the matter. If there's no absolute truth, where do we turn to for answers as we're speaking on today? Where do we turn to? If there's no absolute truth, if you can take a half-truth and make it a whole lie, bifurcate truth and have your own truth, and yet the I'm looking at an article that says most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. 55%, this article reads, 55% of the millennials believe that each person determines his or her own version of truth. Now, unfortunately, that's what's taking place in denominationalism today. That's what's taking place in so many religions that started by man. Let me just simply do a little parenthetical footnote. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship between an individual and God, a relationship that comes about by a volitional decision to say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior, based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. We're not saved because of a denomination. We're not saved because of a religious dogma. We're saved because of faith in Christ and Christ alone. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And I challenge us each and every day in my monologue for Christians to be able to defend the truth. We have to know the Word, study the Word, see what the Word says, allow the Word of God to be the source book of truth without any deviation, change, modification, or deletion in it. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find it? A good question. Tools for Time is located at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a benchmark, an identifier. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. You'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, was Peter the first pope? There are those that say that. And most recent was Cardinal Dolan out of New York speaking on national television, pointing to a throne room looking chair and saying the same seat, talking about Pope Francis, sat in that same seat as the first pope, Peter, did. Ladies and gentlemen, every religion, not Christianity, which is a relationship, all religions were started somehow, somewhere with a human being. For example, let's look at and ponder a moment some of the very strange beliefs of Christian Science by Mary Baker Eddy. Christian Science. I've got a document that's about a half inch thick, and I'll not cover all of the evidence and material in it, but ladies and gentlemen, Mary Baker Eddy said that she believed the Bible and that they taught the Bible. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, Christian Science teaches that the Bible has been corrupted and has so many manifest mistakes, they need other books. Hear me. Christian Science says that the Bible has been corrupted and has so many manifest mistakes, there needs to be other documents. And they have used Mary Baker Eddy's writings and teachings for all of these years. Who was Mary Baker Eddy? She lived back in the 1800s, 1866. Mary Patterson, it was then, a new husband. The article reads that she fell sick on the sidewalk. She turned to the Bible, started reading the Bible, trying to figure out about miraculous healings, and then she claimed that she had discovered Christian Science as a result of that. Ladies and gentlemen, Mary Baker Eddy and Christian Science, the main tenets of Christian Science is focused on Mary Baker Eddy's quote, science and health, not the Word of God, quote, another book. We're going to get to that in a moment about the first pope. Who was it? Was it Simon Peter? But with Mary Baker Eddy, for example, another religion that was started by an individual, they used another book. And the other books in that case was science and health, not the Word of God. This cult teaches that Jesus was a real man of the first century, but that Christ is the name for a certain divine idea, not a person. So, ladies and gentlemen, it was another gospel. The Apostle Paul dealt with the churches at Galatia by chiding them for believing another gospel. What does the word another gospel mean? It's the word eteros in the Greek text, means a different gospel, something that is not the same as the original gospel of the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our nation today, our world today, is being proliferated with those that believe another gospel that will tell you that they're Christian. It's a Christian faith. We just believe in this teaching and that teaching and the other teaching, and it takes precedence over the Word of God. The Book of Mormon's the same idea, the same approach. They say we believe in the Bible, but there's the book that goes atop the Bible that we believe in this, this, and this. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll cut through the chase very quickly, then we'll start taking our callers. It was the recently lived Pope, Pope Francis, that said the, and he was just perpetrating all that had been taught down through the centuries, that the only way for a person to be saved and go to heaven was through Mary and the Catholic Church. He called it the Mother Church, the Catholic Church. So, ladies and gentlemen, if we're finding, and most have not questioned it, most have simply said Roman Catholicism is just another denomination. No, it is not. It is not a Christian denomination. Now listen very carefully. There are a lot of good people in Roman Catholicism. There are a lot of good people that have surrendered their lives to serving the dogmas and the teachings of Roman Catholicism, not realizing it is outside the realm of the truth of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. So the question is, was Peter the first pope, going back to Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy, denies the doctrine of the Trinity. Baker says, and I quote, life, truth, and love constitute the Trinity. Not the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but life, truth, and love constitute the Trinity. That was in Christian Science. Now you might say, well, how does that connect with Roman Catholicism? It doesn't, other than the fact it is started by an individual, a human being, and not the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, we could go further and further and further, with the whole point being that every false religion, every cult is built upon a person, whereas Christianity is built upon the Lord Jesus Christ himself and not a human being. We come to the real issue then. Was Simon Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, the foundation of religion known today as Roman Catholicism? The dogma of the papal system is that Peter was the first Catholic pope. So was Peter the first pope? Our telephone lines are open. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. No. If he was the first pope, how are you going to sacrifice him upside down on the cross? Number one, I think it was Constantine and his mother that started, you know, going through this. But if you ever looked at it in history, every pope was crazy. Almost every pope was crazy. For real. I mean, I don't remember a pope really going after what the Word of God said. You know, they interpreted the way they wanted to interpret it. And it's just sad. And I'm going to let you know, Dr. Youngblood, this next pope that's coming up, Pope Francis, he going to be worse than he is, worse than he was.
Well, we're finding a rapid declension around the world in relationship to what is called true biblical Christianity. We're finding the apostasy that the Scripture talks about in the last days would take place. And part of that apostasy we see today is some of the isms. Dr. Phelps in our school and the college, Dr. Neil Phelps, wrote a book recently. We published it through our university publishing house. And it's called The Seven Isms That Bring About Apostasy. One of those isms is dealing with socialism, humanism, And he goes into details in some of the isms. We're talking about that being the declension today. And it's bringing about the fast, rapid decline of the New Testament church. And this is the reason it's so important, so valid, that we understand what is taking place, especially with the global aura and the awe in relationship to the death of Pope Francis and what it connotes in relationship to where the Catholic Church is going in the future and what Christians need to believe and understand. So, Kenneth, you're exactly right, brother. Thank you so much for your call. God bless you as we keep looking up.
Can I ask you one more question?
Go ahead, yes. Yes.
Okay. I don't know how and why in Europe and in America anti-Semitism is rising. And I'm going to get off the line. I want to hear you.
You're exactly right. Anti-Semitism is rising. It's the hatred for the Jewish person. And you go to Revelation, the 12th chapter, and you find out why. And the reason for the anti-Semitism is because demonic delusion brought in the hearts and the minds of people that reject the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 12 talks about that. It is because it is Jerusalem, it is Israel, it is that nation that gave us the Lord Jesus Christ, and the world, through demonic delusion, hates Israel, hates the Jewish people. We find that today intensifying in the last days. And may I say to our listeners, it's going to intensify even more. Right now, we're on the very cusp of a major global World War III. We have battleships, I think 6 or 7 major battleships loaded with armament and jets right in the Middle East now today, right at the Red Sea and the area that we're finding the Houthis firing missiles, and we have the defense set up. But I believe we're going to find a major, may I say again, major increase in the battle that is going to ultimately lead into what is called the battle that is found in Ezekiel 38 and 39, the war with Russia. But ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about is the Pope, is Peter the first Pope? I believe we have Davis Harper on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
Yeah, Dr. Youngblood, I agree with you 100%, and the answer to your question is no. I think Peter might have been dead a few years before the Catholic Church came into existence. But here's the thing that I noticed this last few days whenever everything was going on about Francis dying, and there was a young man on there they interviewed, and I think he's about 18 years old now. They did again, and he had gone to the Pope when he was about 6 or 7, I believe, and he asked the Pope, was his father in heaven? And the Pope thought for a moment, and then he answered the young man, well, he had all you children baptized, and that's all that's necessary. Everything's okay. Now, my concern is this, over 200,000 people that was viewed in the Vatican Square and all those watching on TV across the nation, how many may have that stumbling block thrown before them, keeping them out of heaven? That young man's reply was, when he answered the other day, was, that man gave me the most hope and peace, and I love that man. How many false prophets are there in the world today that are stumbling blocks to people finding their way to heaven and making a straight destination to hell? And I'm just wondering, and in my mind, I wonder where Francis is today.
I guarantee you he knows the right answer today. I'm not saying that in a lighthearted fashion. It is sad but true. And let me just simply say this while you're on the line. We have a major push today in what is called Calvinism with John Calvin. John Calvin Amen. Was a... John Calvin was a Catholic. John Calvin in the 1500s had a lot of things to say in what is called the Reformation today. John Calvin was a major belief, never did lose his Catholicism and his teachings. And on one occasion, someone came in. He was always known as Mr. Calvin And someone came in and said, Mr. Calvin, I'm concerned if I'm saved, if I'm going to heaven, can you give me some assurance? And John Calvin said, son, have you been baptized? And he said, yes, sir. He said, get your baptismal certificate and look at it. That'll give you the reassurance that you are saved and everything's okay. You see, in Roman Catholicism, even today, it is the sprinkling of that baby that baptizes that baby, gives the assurance of eternal life, which is no place found in the Scripture. And secondly, there's the mindset, as Pope Francis said, and I quote, if you want to go to heaven, you need to go through Mary and the Mother Church. In other words, the only way to heaven is through the Catholic Church. And yet, it was the Pope himself that said, you know, if it's Buddha, if it is Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, et cetera, makes no difference. His words, not mine, all religions lead to heaven.
I think he was a false prophet.
total false prophet. It was teaching a false gospel, as the Apostle Amen. Paul dealt with the churches at Galatia, of teaching another, a different gospel, not the real gospel of Jesus Christ. But, Harper, while I've got you on the line, I'm looking at a massive article. Did the early church believe that St. Peter was the first pope? I'm going to read two or three brief paragraphs and let you respond to it. Roman Catholics believed that St. Peter was the first pope, had primacy over the church, and was given a pastoral role by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We know the scripture argument for the papacy, which is Matthew 16:16-18. I'm going to read that. And then let you tell me something, answer a question. In Matthew chapter 16, this is the anchor text that every Catholic will use, all the Catholic popes have used, that point back to Simon Peter as being the first pope. It's found in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 and following. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am, the Son of Man? Whom the Son of Man say that I am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Verse 15, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? He's speaking to the disciples. Simon Peter answered, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Verse 18 is the key for Roman Catholics. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now I want to ask you a question. In your opinion, what is your position? Does this validate the fact that Peter is the rock, the foundation that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is built on, and thus can be designated as the first pope for Roman Catholicism?
Peter was a pebble. He said, upon this rock, upon Peter's profession or confession, thou art the Christ, the Son, and upon this rock, the solid rock, I
Amen.
Will build my church. Jesus
Amen.
Peter was a rolling stone.
Jesus was not building the church on a man, but on the profession of faith as who Jesus is. And that profession Amen. Of faith is the key, the anchor, the foundation, the cornerstone of all that we believe in relationship to salvation and through the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said to him, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. He said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But it is Peter's profession, as you said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It is Jesus Amen. Christ that is the foundation, that is the cornerstone, the fundamentals of what is called biblical Christianity today. Not a dogma of some religion, not a dogma about Peter being the first pope. And by the way, to tie up that loose end, Peter died someplace in the neighborhood of AD 67, 68, approximately that date. The first coalition or coming together of the what would be known today as the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, was somewhere between the 3rd and 5th century. Not AD 67, 68. Simon Peter had been dead for some time before the Catholic Church ever coalesced.
A long time.
Absolutely.
They must have had another dead man sitting on the throne today now if he's not this Christ as a Savior. He's dead in trespasses and sin. He hadn't been born again.
Brother, you got that right. Thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a very serious subject, a subject that I believe every Christian needs to hear, heed, understand, and be able to grasp to defend the faith. We're going to take the top of the hour news break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ Orange Park, WAYL St. Augustine,